All right, again tonight, if you would turn with us to the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke tonight, I want to read a portion of Scripture as the Lord would help us. Amen. Luke, the 24th chapter, and let's begin with verse 44. Verse 44. Would you stand in honor to the Word, please? And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And they read that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, it is again we come to Thee, realizing our inability, Lord. We need help as only the Holy Ghost can come and give us that help. Now again we plead Thy mercy and Thy blood, that Thou would pour out upon Thy unworthy servant one more time, O God, as we waited before Thee, and we feel that Thou hast touched divinely, and may our hearts, O God, beat as their heart beats. And Lord, may they seek Thy face if they're not ready to meet You. And may they understand that this is why Jesus came, that we might have life and through Him have it more abundantly. Encourage, we pray, and strengthen, Lord, every life in Thy name, we pray tonight. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I read the Scripture tonight, and I wanted to just share something there. This is after Jesus was brought before Pilate, was crucified, and was in the grave or the tomb. Now, he'd been with his disciples for about 3.5 years. You know, I've thought about this so many times. I have labored with people, and some of them has passed on. It was hard for me to understand. Some of them were younger than I. Some of them were a couple of years, maybe older than I. And I often wondered why the Lord picks like He does. I've never understood really the ways and that God picks things like that or does those types of things. But I thought about Jesus, and He had told His disciples that this was going to happen, that He was going to be crucified, that He was going to be put in the grave, but on the third day that He would come forth. Now, when we think of those things in the human as we are today, it's hard for us to fathom such an event, isn't it? Can you just, with your finite mind, can you imagine a grave opening up and someone coming out? I read the story of Lazarus, and I like that. I love to read about Lazarus coming forth. And I go over there several times. I've read it so many times, but I'd love to go back to it because there's something about it that really gets a hold of me. And Jesus came, and Martha, you remember, met Him and said, "If Thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus said, "He'll be all right. He'll live." She said, well, I know that in the resurrection. But he said, show me where you've laid him. Now, he wasn't going to wait to no resurrection, was he? Amen. This was done for a purpose, that he might prove to the world that there was a God. Hallelujah. And the thing that really, really triggered me was when he walked to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. What would have happened if he hadn't have said, Lazarus? Huh? The whole cemetery would have got up. Amen. That's true. If he just said, come forth. For he was the resurrection and the life. Was he not? Amen. And Lazarus came forth, bound. Huh? Said, loose him. And let him go. I tell you, I read that and I get excited. I was bound by sin. I was bound by the chains and fetters of this world. But one day, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Take your hands off of him, devil. That's mine, praise God. And I want you to know that's been 54 years ago almost now. And I still love him, hallelujah. And he's getting better all the time, sweeter as the years go by, praise God. Amen. Well, that's just a testimony. But the disciples had remembered what Jesus said. But you know, in the time of trouble, we often forget things, don't we? We often forget in sorrow. We often forget the promises that were made. You go through some valleys, and I mentioned it through this meeting. You go through some situations it's hard to understand. But we forget the promise. Now you see, he's not slack concerning promises as men count slackness. But he's merciful. And he keeps them all, every one of them. If he tells you something, he'll keep that promise. But they forgot. They forgot because of the heartache and the disappointment that Jesus was now crucified, lying in the tomb, and here we are without a leader. But 3.5 years, they more or less depended upon his leadership to guide them, to encourage them. But now he's gone. How sad. How sad of a story this would have been if that would have been the end. But that wasn't the end. Thank God for that. What a disappointment it would have been if they just rolled the stone at the tomb, and that would have been all there was. There was nothing more. But that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I said to myself what a sad time it would be, and I believe even in history today, we have had some sad disappointments. But I'm still looking to Him. Praise God. I was speaking to a funeral director. And we used to call them undertakers. And I said, you know, to one. And I helped him some. And I said, you know, Merle, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Now, he's a Methodist, this fellow was. And he said, now, I know, Reverend, I know. I said, well, we need to be ready, don't we? Now, even though he professed, I don't think he's ready. Hello? You know, we can profess a lot, but that really don't help us. What we need is possession. Profession is good, but we need possession. Amen. We need to have some receptiveness of Him in our heart and life in order that we might show forth the goodness of God through us. Amen. Well, let me hurry on here. The disciples, no doubt, were very discouraged at the time Jesus was placed in the tomb. But it didn't cause them possibly to give up completely. But they began to reminisce and begin to think. And now I want to take you to a couple of fellows. Cephas was one of those. And the other disciple that was with him was walking on the road to Emmaus, if you remember. And as they begin to walk down the road, they begin to kind of think of the things that Jesus said. He said he's going to come again. Well, possibly that's in the resurrection. No. He promised in 3 days he would rise. Everybody's not dead, so surely there's something going to happen. Can you imagine in the heart of individuals that were normal thinking men, and they were reminiscing and talking, and then all of a sudden, right out of the bushes, a fella started walking down the road. Hello, gentlemen. Whoopee, hallelujah. And they kind of felt funny, you know, but they didn't say anything. Later on, the Bible says they had a spiritual heartburn. Thank God. Said, did not our hearts burn within us? How long has it been since you had a spiritual heartburn? If you get close to Jesus, every once in a while, you'll have a spiritual heartburn. Thank God. And there'll be something begin to happen, and something begin to motivate in your soul, and you say, oh God, you really kept your word. And He does keep His word, friend. Amen. If I go away, I shall come again to receive you unto myself. I want to go. Praise the Lord, I want to go. Amen. Someone said, you ready to go today, preacher? I'm ready if he is. But I'm in no hurry. Huh? Come on. Amen. I want to stay as long as he wants me to. But when he says, come up hither, thank God, I want to just let this old world lose its gravity and let me go. Praise the Lord. I want to make it. Amen. I got to make it. I've made the plans to make it. Hallelujah. And I paid the price back there. Amen. And it still holds good today. I'd like to use a thought tonight. A type of holiness. These disciples were men that were rugged. They'd done all sorts of things. Their occupation wasn't just taking care of sheep or tending the nets, are making tents, or whatever it might have been. But they were occupied in rough type of living. And Jesus began to speak to them and told them, now, hang on. I know this doesn't go good with some of your teaching today, but I don't believe they could have been a follower except they would have been born again. Hello. We got a bunch of people going around over the country, Brother Gibson, that's preaching that the disciples weren't even saved until Pentecost. You hear that? But they were. They were followers. Amen. Jesus did not want just any Tom, Dick, and Harry, amen, following Him and trying to protect what He was doing and to exhibit to the world what blood meant in salvation. Amen. Well, let me go on. And the Bible teaches us that these men were stirred in their hearts. But when Jesus began to just unroll some Scripture to them, let's look at some of the Scripture that He began to talk to them about tonight. First of all, look over there in your Bible if you'd like to. In the 24th chapter, verses 14 through 15. What manner of communication in verse 17 are these that thou the one to saying one to another as you walk, and are so sad. What is it you're so sad about? How come you're so disappointed? And then in verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? He was asking them, do you not know what has come to pass in these days? What things you're talking about? He was trying to get them to confess and to own up to some things, wasn't he? Don't you remember nothing, fellas? Amen. He was trying to get them to just kind of come clean. Then I looked a little further down in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? Amen. That would be enough to give you a heartburn, wouldn't it? This fellow don't know anything we're talking about, but it seems like he's unrolling everything to us. He's unrattling the Scripture to us. And he must know something, surely. But it never entered their mind until the shadows of darkness begin to come. And they bid Christ to come and to sit down at the meal. And it was honorary to ask your visitors to pray. And they asked the Lord to pray. As He began to pray, they were very honorable. No doubt bowed their head. Not like a lot of people, you know. I've seen them sit down in a restaurant and look. I guess they said something. I don't know what it was. But they were ashamed to bow their heads. But these fellows honored Him as He began to pray. And by the time He said, thank you, Father, and they raised their head, He was gone. And then their hearts burned. Praise God. Have you been in the presence of the Lord where your heart just burned? Oh, you didn't want to give up and you didn't want to leave out. You just wanted to stay on and on. Kind of like those fellows, you know, said, hey, we're here. Let's build three tabernacles. Just stay so good up here. Hallelujah. You ever get to the place you'd like to build a tabernacle and just stay there and say, by the grace of God, I'm just going to stay here to come back. Oh, sometimes I've been in services when the glory fall, people shouting, thank God, all over the place. The glory was just moving and people were blessed and hearts were moved and souls were seeking. And I didn't want to leave. Amen. I just felt like building a tabernacle and staying. But let's go on just a little further, a type of the sanctified. Here they run back into Jerusalem as fast as they could go, and they begin to relate the story to the other disciples. If you find out something good, you like to tell everybody, don't you? I do. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hear about a good meeting going on somewhere. I said, man, they had a time out there. Whew. I was in a meeting not too far from Muncie, and some people came from another church, and they were visiting, and they said to the pastor, and overheard, he said, man, God came Sunday night in our service and just literally saturated that place. And the Shekinah glory of heaven just settled down until we'd been needing and preaching, and people began to testify, and the glory fell, and people began to seek God. And at 10:30, they were still shouting and praising God. Whew. That was like saying, whoop, whoop. Sick him. Amen. Thank God. And they were praising the Lord. They stood up in that revival and they began to praise God. Some had got sanctified. One boy got sanctified that no doubt had been prayed for. I prayed for him myself for at least 20 years. Really, he just tried to get in and he wouldn't get it settled. He just let it go and it build up and soon he would explode again. And he said, just doesn't work. I said, you just didn't get it. Amen. Now, folks, let me tell you something. If you truly get saved and you truly get sanctified, this experience works. Amen. My nature was a fighter. And I don't say that braggadociously. No, no. But I had to fight to exist when we were coming up. I mentioned some of it, but it was a lot of that was from my brother. You know, I had to take his part too. But I mean in life itself. Raised up in a coal mining town. People laugh at you, make fun of you. And I got tired of it. When I get tired of it, either one of us or somebody's going to get hurt. Amen. And a lot of times it was me. My nose, I've had to push it back a lot of times. He'd knock it to one side and I'd push it back. Amen. But you know, when God saved me, He took something out of me then. And when He sanctified me, hallelujah, He done a wonderful thing. He took the root out of there. Amen. He destroyed the stump, if you can understand. You can grab the stumps and all that out if you want to, but you leave a little root in there and it's going to sprout up again. Next year you're going to have the same problem. And that's the problem with a lot of folk. They're not really getting sanctified. They're just coming and rubbing their nose on the altar. That don't help, you know. Back in Kentucky, they say you can blow all the snots you want to, but it don't help. What you need to do is get your heart cleaned out. Amen. These disciples, these fellows were encouraged. They had seen Jesus. It was Him. He revealed to us. Don't you remember on the way? He revealed to us. And I felt funny. My heart was just elated. I was lifted. Something was there. Oh, we had a spiritual heartburn, thank God. Can you imagine them fellas heading back? Now it was dark. They weren't supposed to go anyway. It's too dark. They weren't supposed to, they was going, brother. Hallelujah. Thank God. They got down there. And they didn't wait for them to open the door. They shouted it open and said, "We've seen Him. Hallelujah." I want you to know something. If I'd have been there, I'd have said, "Woo! Hallelujah! He said it and I believe it." But you know, like a lot of them said, "Really? Huh? Really?" When I got saved, I had a lot more hair than I do now. I went into the barber shop and I was getting my hair cut by an old Methodist. And old Ed would always tell me jokes, you know. And I'd laugh with the biggest of the crowd. But when I got saved, I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to go get me a haircut." And it's kind of long, you know. It's beginning to look like a poodle dog. Amen. And I went in and sat down in the barber chair. And old Ed said, "How you been doing?" Everybody called me Junior. I said, "Well, pretty good, Ed. How you been doing?" He said, "Well, I've learned some. Hey, I've got some new jokes." I said, "I want to hear them." He said, "What?" I said, "I don't want to hear them. You feeling okay?" Oh, I was ready. Every time I'd get in a barber chair, I was ready for the new joke. Huh? I could have wrote a joke book, you know, from Ed. Amen. And I said, "Ed, I got saved last night." He said, "You got what?" I said, "I got saved." "You got saved?" I said, "I sure did. Praise God." And I began to testify to Ed. And Ed choked up. And he swallowed. And his eyes got moist. And he said, "That's sure good news. That's good news." You see, he knew me. He knew what I was. Two other fellas came in. It was really amusing. I like it. I'd like to even tell it. Oh, it's so funny. These fellas come in, and they had a spit tune sitting over here about 6 foot from where they were sitting. And honestly, I believe they could hit it. That thing, and they could spit in that thing, and it just... right in there. I don't know how they done it. I guess they knew how. They'd practiced so many times. And they sat down in the chair there, and I was sitting in the barber chair, and they had a mirror in front and a mirror in back. You remember those barbers? You remember those shops where they had the mirror in the front and the mirror in the back? You could see what was going on. You could even look at the back of your head, you see.
kind of turn that way and look, and you see the back of your head. Amen. And old Ed turned me around, and these fellas were sitting there, and they said, "Hey, have you heard the latest?" And said, "We got a good joke we want to tell." And Ed went, and Ed spun me around. I said, "Fellas, I don't want to hear it." I said, "The Lord saved me. One fella, I believe he swallowed his cud." Ooh, that's awful. If you've never swallowed one. Amen. Didn't believe it. I believe anything but that. I don't believe the whole way. Not you, Junior. I said, "You saved me. Hallelujah." And old Ed said, "I believe you did." And I was having a time, praise God, testifying. Here I was just a young stripling of a fella, and here these old fellas been professing for years, Methodist people. That's all they were, professors. But time and time again, I hurry, time and time again, I went back in the barber shop and never had another muddy, dirty story ever told while I was in the presence of the barber. Amen. When I walked in, there was a holy quietness. Hallelujah. Just like you'd walked into a morgue or something. Just stopped. Everything stopped. Amen. They wouldn't even smoke a cigarette in there. Oh, you know they would. I don't know. It wasn't me. It was God. It was God. And the disciples, as they run back and they told, some of them, no doubt, didn't believe. Especially, you remember Thomas? He said, "Not me, boys. Unless I thrust my hand in his side and feel the prints in his hands, I won't believe." Praise God. About that time, door wouldn't even open, and here come Jesus right through the wall. "Thomas, thrust thy hand in thy side." He said, "My Lord and my God." It was just the voice, wasn't it? Have you heard His voice lately? Do you know the sound of His voice? The Bible says His sheep know His voice. Praise God. I know His voice when I hear Him. I'm one of His. Brother Gibson, one of His. I'm a sheep of His, thank God. And I know His voice. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you can get to the place in God's grace to where you know Him, regardless of what others do or what they say. You can still say, "I know in whom I believe, and am persuaded that He is able, thank God, to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Hallelujah. God will keep us in spite of all the opposition of the world. God will keep us, friends. And some of these disciples felt that. Amen. In Acts 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching." Why? They had met the Master. They went out preaching everywhere, telling. Brother, listen, we should be encouraged to know that Christ is alive. He's not dead. Someone said, "He's dead. I don't think He's even sick." Praise God. Amen. Some of them, you know, try to tell you, "You can't live this thing. It's impossible." But I want you to know, these fellows begin to believe. It was convincing enough when Cephas come in and the other disciple, and he came in and said, "We've seen Him, boys. He ate with us there, started to eat, and He was gone, and we didn't eat either." Praise God. Did you ever get so blessed you just didn't feel like eating? Amen. Well, these fellows were blessed in their soul. But notice what happened here. Amen. These disciples, listen what they done. They emerged from the darkness and defeat. And they seemingly were defeated, but they emerged from the darkness and defeat into the sunlight of hope. Thank God. He's alive. Praise the Lord. He promised that He was coming. And He did. What day? Hallelujah. That day you don't have to stay in darkness. You don't have to be defeated. You can have Christ. Hallelujah. In all of His glory. Praise His name. Thank God they were possessed with what, preacher? With new hope. Ooh,
Praise the Lord. New hope, new purpose, and new power.
Amen. Have you ever seen someone that you thought, you know, was missing, and all at once you look and they're there? Amen. I said, my. It is old John. Hi, John. I thought you were gone, man. No, I'm not gone. They just thought I was. Amen. That's like Jesus, you know. I thought He was gone, but He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Praise God. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Praise the Lord. He's alive in my heart tonight. Is He alive in yours? I have new hope. I have a new purpose. I have new power because He's alive. Brother, you don't have to live on suppose so, maybe so. Well, I think so. You can know so. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. But notice what Christ did. Okay, fellas, I got a big job for you. Amen. What did He do? He sent them out to crusade for Him. Now, you see, God only wants to use those that's fully equipped and has on all the armor. Now, He'll use you if you're saved, but He can use you far greater if you're saved and sanctified. You see, that's the fulfilling of His Word. And that's the completion of the experience until you're glorified on the other side. Oh, praise God. I'm waiting on that one. I believe in three works, don't you? Amen. Someone said, you do? I said, oh, I do. Sure do. I get two of them here and one there. Praise the Lord. Thank God forever. I'm headed for city, folks. As I told you the other night, I'm tired of little towns. I'm heading for the city. Praise the Lord forever. But notice this. They went out to represent a militant master. What in the world is that? Oh, militant master, not someone that's dead, not someone that's been cooked, but I want you to know He was alive, thank God. He was in control. He still knew what was going on and what was going to take place. Praise the Lord. He was a transforming master. Bless His name who's alive. Oh, this was their message. When God comes and saves you real good and sanctifies you real good, you don't have to be a preacher to tell about it. Huh? No, you don't. I wasn't a preacher when I started testifying to Ed McGee. And I told him about Jesus. And he'd been in the church for 40 or 50 years. And I said, Ed, this is the wonderfulest thing I ever experienced in my life. The Lord has saved me. And big old tears, as I said, was trickling down his cheek. He said, Junior, whatever it takes, be true to God. I said, I will. Hallelujah. As I said, it's been over 50 years. I've never had a desire to look back, brother. I've never had a desire to go back into the world. There's nothing. I took loose. I cut loose of the world. I said, I don't want anything to do with the world. I'm going with God. Hallelujah. It's worth it all, friend, to pay a price. And when He comes at sudden death, as Paul said, will be sudden glory. Hallelujah. I say, praise the Lord. Amen. My wife and I were coming back from the state of Michigan just recently, and we was coming into home, and it had snowed. My, they had a terrible snow, and I told her, I said, honey, pray. I said, these roads are just slick as a bottle. And I mean, they were black ice everywhere. And I said, oh, dear Lord, look here. There's four cars in a pile right in front of us. And I said, oh, Jesus, please help us. And I could just feel my car real light, you know, just kind of moving. But I had to go on, you know. And I said, oh, God, help us. I said, honey, please pray. And she was praying, but I wanted to emphasize it. Amen. And we drove probably less than 10 miles, and we seen another big pile up. And then we drove about a mile and seen another big pile. We counted 27 accidents right in front of us. And not one time did God let my car slip too much. But He kept it under control. Hallelujah. You know what I done? Brother James, I said, thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. And I just kind of felt, and he whispered to me, I love you too, son. Amen. Praise God. And I really believe he does. Whoopee. Oh, thank God. He blesses my heart. He intrigues my soul. Oh, listen, he meets my every need. He's not slothful in these things. He comes through every time. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a blowout. My wife mentioned it, I think, to our sister over here. Had a blowout going to a funeral in Michigan. And I didn't know what to do. I had that little donut, you know. And I put the thing on, but I looked and I said, honey, look at this tire. What's left of it? 2 inches on each side of the rim. The rest of it, I don't even know where it went to. I said, oh, I hope it didn't hurt that rim. It's aluminum rim. And I said, I hope I didn't hurt that thing. And I don't have the money to buy another one. Huh? I put that donut on. And I drove on into Michigan. I drove up to my brother's house. I called him on the phone and said, sorry, I'm going to be late, son. But I just couldn't help it. I had a blowout. And it's terrible. And I said, I don't have but 2 inches on each side of that rim. I think I've ruined the rim. I said, I don't even know the price of the rim, but I'm sure it costs more than I've got in my pocket. And possibly in the bank. Amen. But I rolled in that night, and he said, just go to bed and go to sleep. He said, don't worry about it. Get up in the morning. Go ahead and preach that funeral. Come on back. I'll take care of the car while you're gone. Get you another tire and put it on there, and then we'll talk about things. I went ahead and went to the funeral, took his big old Cadillac DeVille, you know. I sit down in that thing like, sit down. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. You know, big old thing. And I thought, my. What are they going to think about me pulling into a funeral in this big old limousine? My wife said, Daddy, I feel so unnecessary. Amen. She said, we shouldn't have come. I said, it's the only way I had to get here. Went ahead and preached the funeral. The Lord helped us. I suppose there's anywhere from 400, maybe more people there in that funeral home. And I want you to know, friend, God helped us. I didn't preach. I preached a message of repentance. Amen. The lady that I was preaching her funeral, if she'd have been there, she'd have rose up, brother. If she'd have been alive, she'd have rose up and said, Hallelujah, Brother Walsh, preach it! I've got family here that needs God poured on. And I told him that. I said, if Sister Lida was awake, she would holler, preach it! Preach it! Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I got back in the car after the funeral and went back over to my brother's and he had a new tire put on. He said, that rim's perfect. Wasn't a thing wrong with it. He said, it's perfect. I said, praise the Lord. Good. I said, what'd you do with that old donut? He said, I threw it back in there where you had it, you know, before you got it out. And I said, well, how much do I owe you? He said, well, said the bill was $129 and something, but he said, let's just call it even. I said, Carl, how's that? He said, because I love you. Isn't that just like God? I didn't have $129 to spare. Amen. They give me a little bit for preaching that funeral, but I don't think it would have covered it. Amen. And my brother said, oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, I really didn't let it bother me too much. Amen. But I figured a fella could drive a car like he does every year. Amen. And pays his employees every week $7,000. I kind of feel like he could afford $129 a week for his big brother, don't you? Amen. I said all that to say this. I'm glad that God takes care of us, friends. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll not let us down. You may get into some tough places, some hard places, but the disciples thought the whole bottom dropped out of things. But I want you to know God was still there. Praise the Lord. It looked dark. It looked bleak. But they were encouraged now. Thank the Lord. He sent them out. They represented Him. Thank the Lord. He was a transforming Master. He was alive. I thank God for that. And these faithless disciples became soldiers of the cross now. Oh, praise God. Amen. You know what happened when David faced that giant in the valley? All of Israel was backing up. But when the giant fell, all Israel went forward. Amen. Why? They were encouraged. Why? They knew the battle was won and the Philistines run. One fellow said they tucked their tail and ran as fast as they could. Amen. I want you to know, friend, we're serving a God that loves and cares and understands us. Amen. A type of the sanctified. He gave the world, listen to me, He gave the world a transforming discipleship. Transforming, praise the Lord, something, not old, but something new. Someone said, oh, that's the same old stuff. No, it's new every day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you get tired of reading the Word? Huh? Does it get boring to you? No, don't get bored to me. There's sometimes the Lord will speak to me and I'm sound asleep and He'll just wake me up. And He'll say, son, I want you to go read this scripture. And I, oh, Lord, praise the Lord. What the? Hallelujah. And it's just exactly what I needed. Amen. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. Can I go back to bed? He let me go back to bed. Now, I talk to Him just like I talk to you, Brother James. Amen. He's my Heavenly Father. Don't I have a right to talk to my Heavenly Father? Praise the Lord. You have a right to talk to Him. Praise God. Every once in a while, we just conversate. Amen. I said, Jesus, I really love You. And He just seemed to whisper to me, I love You too, son. I said, Jesus, I want You to protect my family. He said, I promised I'd never leave You nor forsake You. Amen. And we just conversate back and forth. You said, I never heard the like in my life. Well, get close to Him and He'll help you. Praise the Lord and you'll hear the like. Amen. Let's notice a little further here. He gave them a transforming discipleship. They went out, listen, to turn the world upside down. We can't stir the fuzz on a gander's nose today. Did you hear me? We can't stir on a gander's nose today in the holiness circles. But they went out to turn the world upside down, brother. They preached the gospel. And they knew that their heads were at stake when they began to preach it. But they still preached it. Amen. And when you're sanctified, you forget about your head. Just keep your heart clear. Hallelujah. They had a compassion. Amen. A compulsion of a great compassion moved upon them and surged through them and possessed them. Praise God. Pulse beat of new power dominated them. Thank God. A new purpose in their life now. Brother, I've got something new to work and labor for. I'm not just saying that I'm a follower of Jesus. Thank God, I'm more than a follower now. I belong to Him entirely. Amen. Without reservation. I thought about this. I jotted it down. When the sense of new life, they conquered. Amen. Look at that. Thank God. Others may fail, but Jesus never. Praise His holy name. Then I look a little further. The world thought them mad. They think the same thing about you. Did you know that? They think you're mad when you begin to talk about how God can save you and sanctify you and take away all the things in your life that's not needful in your soul and help you and encourage you that you can face every obstacle and every battle. And they say, well, I don't believe that. Oh, yes, my friend. I want you to know the majority sometimes wins and sometimes the majority don't win. But in this case, the majority won. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone said they must be drunk on new wine. No, they were not drunk on new wine as men supposed, but they were filled with the Spirit. One fellow said they were electrified. I told my wife one day, I was working in the parsonage. I said, honey, would you go back and throw the breaker in this lower bathroom? It says lower bathroom. Throw the breaker. I've got to change this receptacle here. Okay. And she'd done what I told her. It said, lower bathroom, receptacles. She threw it. And I was just, wow! I said, did you throw that? She said, yes. I said, it's still hot. And I just took a little meter and checked it. I should have done that first. But we don't do things like we're supposed to. Don't you laugh. You don't either. Amen. You wait till... My wife said we drive down the highway and we just drive and drive and drive. She said, Daddy, why don't you ask where we're at? I said, I know where I'm at. She said, well, how come you're going around the circle? You passed this place twice already. I said, pull over, honey, and ask. And I said, well, when all else fails, I'll ask my wife, where are we? And she said, you're not where you're supposed to be. But when I checked that receptacle the next time, it was still hot. I don't know what happened. It was still hot. There must have been a cross up somewhere, back feeding someplace. But I gingerly took that screwdriver and backed it out, you know, and sweating rolling down me. You know how that is, boys. And I unloosed the other screw and backed it off. And then I reached in there and got to pull it away, you know. And then I stuck a new one in there because that one was bad. And I said, oh, Lord, please help me. And I took the ground and hooked it first because I wanted the ground to be on first in case I got juicicated. Amen. Now, that's Kentucky language, you know. Oh, these fellas were electrified. Brother, they had power. And people knew they'd been with God. Praise His holy name. Amen. The majority yield today is in the church. Listen to me. We're filled with anemic souls. You know what anemic is? Got bad blood. Weak. Come on, go call them with me. I don't feel good. That's what we pay the preacher for. Are you paying him enough? Hello? Amen. And he didn't tell me to say that. Matter of fact, we haven't talked too much since I've been here. Amen. Hello? But he sent him out. Have you been sent out? God, have you been filled with power? After they feel with the presence of the Holy Ghost, they went out to represent, as I've already said, a militant master, a powerful God, hallelujah, one that loves and cares, one that'll never forsake us regardless. If all else fail, friend, He will still be there. Hallelujah. Thank God they were possessed here again with a new presence of the Holy Ghost. He said, but listen, ye shall receive the Holy Spirit after you receive Him. Then He said, you'll go out. Praise God. They went out to proclaim a dynamic message. I read of Paul in Romans 1 and 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. A Jew person in us. Isn't that wonderful? Give us an opportunity. Praise the Lord forever. Amen. Someone said, I still can't make it. Yes, you can. Thank God it was a quickening and saving message. We want to tell the world that Jesus Christ is still the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He wants to give us something genuine in our soul. Not something supposed so, but He wants to give us an oh-so salvation. I told you about praying with a little Mormon boy. Good little fella. And he said, Ben, I don't know how to talk to him like you do. Would you teach me how? And I said, I'd love to. And he was lying in the top bunk and I was lying in this top bunk. And there's about 50 soldiers around us. All those men, you know. Some of them would laugh. But that night, they didn't laugh. As I began to pray with him and he began to pray, and began to pour out his heart to God. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Just let me lead him to you. Help me to get him to God. And finally, he prayed clear through. And he was clear in his praying. Amen. I said, you can talk to him now. He said, oh, there's such a peace. Such a serenity. Such a joy in my soul. He just breathed real hard. He said, I've never felt like this in my life. I've been a Mormon all my life, but I never felt like this. 2 weeks later, he was gone. He got just under the wire, just in time. I wouldn't trade an experience like that, friends, for nothing in the world. I'm glad I was where I was at the time. Thank God that Jesus used me for His glory. Amen. They were a quickening, saving message. Thank God it pricked the heart and it stirred the soul and it caused people to realize and understand that He was alive and He could live within them if they desired Him to be there. Praise God. They preached it. This message of salvation, liberation, and consolation. They didn't care what the world thought or said. They were ready to obey God regardless of any cost. This gospel is sufficient for the darkest. Listen, for the darkest day or night, it doesn't matter, friend. Thank God. Conquers. Listen, it conquers all and comforts millions if we allow it to. Amen. Brother Gibson, I've stood by many a individual that had passed away, and the family would come up and they would be weeping and wailing. And if it was a gentleman, I'd go over and put my arm around him and I'd say, "Sir, don't worry about him. For he left a testimony that he loved God with all of his heart." I said, "If you're not ready, just get ready to meet him." He said, "Oh, preacher, that's a comfort." That's what he said. A comfort to millions. Hallelujah. Amen. A young lady lost her little baby. She said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Just trust God." I said, "He needed that over there. He needed a rosebud." Hallelujah. Just kind of decorate his flower garden. And he took the little rosebud out. Amen. Your comfort, preacher. Your comfort. Hallelujah. Are you catching on, friend? We're serving a mighty God. A mighty God is He. Hallelujah. I wish I could sing that chorus. Amen. A mighty God is He. Praise the Lord forever. The gospel put on the darkest cloud, a rainbow of hope, friends. Whether you think it or not, there's hope in Him. Praise His holy name. Thank God. Oh my. Listen to this. And it is only hope, not just for this world, but hope beyond this world. Not just for this world, it's beyond this world that we have hope. And Paul said, without hope, we're all men most miserable. Aren't you glad that we have that hope tonight? Do you have it? How about you on this section? You have that hope? How about you on this section? You have that hope tonight? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I had to jot this down. It was so good. I had to jot it down. Medicine for the sick, bread for the hungry, water for the thirsty, cures the plagues, eradicates the pestilence, gives home to the homeless. Its sympathy is boundless, thank God, and its power is unmeasureless. This is the hope that we have tonight when we serve God. Brother, we have something to look forward to. They courageously preached the message. They didn't back up and say, "I wonder what people's going to think about me. What do we care what they think?" We got to answer to the Lord. Amen. He said, "Be faithful thou unto the end." Amen. You're going to be persecuted. You are. Regardless of how much you try to avoid it, you're going to get persecuted if you really serve God. And I've had them say to me, Brother Gibson, in churches I pastored years ago, they said to me, "Oh, Brother Watts, I just can't make it. I just can't make it." And I told them a little story. I said, "Did you ever read the story about the little train that come up the hill? How many ever read that?" "Oh my, look at that. 2/3 of this congregation's read that story. You've done killed my point."